This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Wow, Luca, that was hard to watch.
You, coming?
We do not go anywhere near the surface. Got it?
Everything good is above the surface.
Walking.
Air!
The sky, clouds, the sun.
Have you ever gone to the human town?
Yeah.
I'm kind of an expert.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. As part of our animation extravaganza this week, we are going from the hand-drawn world of Studio Ghibli to Pixar today, because we're talking about their latest release, Luca.
Every Pixar release is a cause for much excitement, right? And, you know, this is, I think, vintage Pixar in that it kind of just brings you joy and brightens up your day. And it's so beautiful that you're just glad to live in this space that they've created for however long the movie is.
Yeah, and also the kind of, I don't know how Pixar does it, but every movie they release has a different look and a different tone and a different style of animation, even though they're all CGI, like even though they're all computer animated, they all look so different, like color-wise, the shapes, the way they move, and just the visuals of the whole thing. But yeah, you're right. I mean, like anytime we get a new Pixar film, it's like a gift. And the fact that we have it delivered now to our homes is even like, it doubles down on that gift. So I'm just glad we got to see it over the weekend.
I think this is one of Pixar's most child-friendly, child-based, child-loving movies in a while, in the sense that when we use the words gift, it really does feel like a gift from my childhood almost, or to my childhood self, because it's really a gift. It's really a movie that is meant for kids, I feel, even though there's plenty in there for adults to enjoy as well. So it focuses on the eponymous Luca, who is a sea monster, a child sea monster whose family lives in fear of the land monsters, or us. And he is able, like all sea monsters, to, when they rise above the water, when they get dry, they look like us. When they re-immerse into the sea or into any body of water, they go back to looking like their sea monster selves. And so in the course of this one magical summer, he makes a friend and ends up exploring the nearby seaside town. And the whole thing is based in the Italian Riviera. So it's got a very particular kind of 60s Italian feel, which is really cute.
And I mean, it's really a story about friendship, isn't it? Because so Luca makes friends with Alberto, who is another sea monster. And so you have that dynamic of two young boys who have just become friends and are doing all these silly, crazy things. And then you add into that mix Julia, who is a human girl. And then she kind of becomes their friend as well. And so then the dynamic changes. And I think what I loved most about Luca is how it is very much about friendships at a particular point in time, where you don't need too much to decide to become someone's friend. You just both need to want to ride Vespas, or you both want to win a competition, or you both like pasta. And then you're just suddenly all like the best of friends, and you care for each other. And it really hits on that particular emotion that I think adults would feel really nostalgic about, which is why, while I agree that it is actually an extremely kid-friendly film, it's also an extremely adult-friendly film. It makes you crave for a lot of the things that we don't get right now, the connections with people, outdoors, travel, adventures. And so I think it really is a perfect time to watch something like Luca.
And that's like every Pixar film, right? On the surface, it's one thing. And then when you start to dig deep, it's about something else entirely. So on the surface, it's about like friendship. It's about, you know, looking for friendship and family and stuff. But then also it's about xenophobia or, you know, stuff about the other and stuff about being different from the townspeople, because the townspeople famously hate sea monsters. They have statues built of their heroes killing sea monsters.
Wall carvings.
Wall carvings, where they just, they're not hiding it. They just don't like sea monsters. And there have been sightings of things like, not the Loch Ness Monster, but things like the Loch Ness Monster. And they go on hunts and they make sure that these things don't come to shore and they want to keep them away. So that's the adult part of the Pixar film. I was just glad that they focused more on the friendship part, because I think I was at a place where I love Pixar and I love what they do, but I didn't want an existential crisis this weekend. And I was just looking for an animation to watch. And I'm glad that they gave me a kid-friendly Pixar film as opposed to something that's going to make me, you know, sit down and recalculate my life for a couple of hours.
That's the thing. So I've seen a lot of Pixar, Luca's generally received, I think, positive reviews, but the one caveat that most people have included in that positivity is that it is exactly that. It's a simpler film. It is not really trying to extend its reach beyond the town of Puerto Rosso. It's just sitting there, it's sitting on the beach. It really is focused on these three children. And I loved that. It was what I was ready for. I just wanted a beautiful little film. I think we've reached a point now after, I don't know, you know, 20 movie sagas and after one studio trying to own all the stories in the world, you know, of not...
Which, I mean, Pixar is not separate from any of that.
That's what I'm saying. So because knowing what we know about the kinds of movies that make money, the kinds of movies that have been getting so much attention, I liked the fact that this was a story about children, for children, about childhood friendships that celebrated that, and also for adults to feel that fear of change, right? You identify with that feeling, that fear of abandonment, to identify with the fact that friendships change and you don't know whether beyond this summer, for instance, their friendships are going to be any different. But it is, it's like almost like a photo album of this particular summer. And I really loved that.
I have to admit that I was one of those that upon first watch, I had the Pixar expectation. So when I finished it, I was like, this is really nice. And I loved having watched it. But, you know, what else is there? Where is my ruminations on life? Right. But I must say that the longer I've sat with the film, the more I find myself thinking back to little bits of it that gave me joy. So the director for Luca, Enrico Casarosa, he's the one who did the Pixar short La Luna. And when you compare both, you absolutely realize the kind of storyteller he is. Small stories, stories about children, stories about taking joy in like simple things and small things. In a weird way, the longer I sat with that message and that feeling, the more I realized that perhaps that's exactly what I needed at this point in time.
Which makes so much sense, right? Because like I was thinking the movie has about 15 or 20 minutes worth of story, tops. But then you get all these like bonus side quests and things coming in the middle, and you have a lot of comedy and you have a lot of fun. Things that don't actually have to be in there to progress the story, because there's a very clear like start point, middle point and end point that could have been done like a short film. Like this could have been easily maybe 10 to 15 minutes. But that's the other thing. I was glad that all the fluff was there, because the fluff is not bad. The fluff just makes the movie Luca, and Luca is not a bad film at all. It's one of those films where I would have given it easily an additional 20 minutes to half an hour, because I just like everything that was going on in this tiny, tiny town in the middle of nowhere.
And it's beautiful. Who wouldn't want to live in that space?
Mm-hmm. Can I just say, how did they do the light? You know, there are sequences where I kept thinking about Finding Nemo, right? And I kept thinking about The Little Mermaid, because these are the films that have that legacy of being underwater movies from Disney, from Pixar, and in some ways also have that sense of wanting a little kid wanting to explore beyond, wanting to see what's beyond what their family allows them to see, overprotective parents being a common theme. And I was just thinking about, A, the fact that this story is simpler, you know, you go from an underwater farm with the world's dumbest sheepfish up to the nearby town, and that's really it. You don't get taken away to an evil sea witch and then a dumb prince. You don't get taken away to Australia. So it's much smaller, A, but also the quality of the animation is something else. The way that the light filters underwater, the way that they captured the particular quality of afternoon sunlight, where it's almost a little bit too bright. I really love that. I think that's why it captured that summer holiday feel. Part of it was the light and the way colors look within that particular brand and band of sunlight.
I loved how this film looked. I loved, loved, loved everything about every aspect of visual delight that we got in this film, from the way they change from being sea monsters to humans and how there's so much care taken into how each part of their body changes. And, you know, when one part changes and the other part doesn't, everything just looks so beautiful. You know, Julia's hair, very different from, say, Merida's hair, which, you know, so much focus was put into how her hair would look. Here, it looks a lot more animated in a particular sense. But I don't know, like, you can't stop looking. I feel like I want to rewatch this movie again and again just to sort of, for eye candy value.
Yep, like 100% agree with all that. But I just, my favorite thing is actually the cat, Machiavelli.
Machiavelli.
I love Machiavelli. It's just, even like, speaking of animation, even the way the cat moves and the way the cat, you just look, just watch the cat in the background when you're watching this film. Just keep looking at the cat and the way the cat moves and the way the cat looks in the background. It's a joy.
And the beauty of it is Machiavelli is basically like a semi-evil black and white ball. It's just really good. We're talking today about Luca, which is the latest from Pixar, of course. Let us know what you think. If you've seen it, if you plan to see it, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, leave them alone. Hop on.
Go start a club for losers.
My name is Giulia Marcovaldo. We underdogs have to look out for each other.
What's under the dogs?
There's a million things you think you can't do. All you need is a chance to try.
I know your problem. You got a Bruno in your head.
A Bruno?
Say, Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Louder.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Can you still hear him?
Nope, just you.
Good. Now hang on.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvind. Today, we are reviewing Luca, which is the latest from Pixar and which we all really enjoyed. One thing I wanted to say is that I think that when movies focus on children, and this is something we talked about with Sweet Tooth, in fact, there is a neat balance that filmmakers need to strike of allowing kids to be kids and not having them be shrill or necessarily get on adults' last nerves, right, when you're watching the film. And Luca, Alberto and Julia, I thought were three lovely kids to be in company with because you got to see what gets them down. You got to see the stuff that bothers them. You get to see them behaving poorly at times, but you still really enjoy being in their company.
So just to say, Luca is voiced by Jacob Tremblay, Alberto by Jack Dylan Grazer, and Julia by Emma Berman. I love the voice cast. I love how they're all, as you said, yes, they are kids, but the movie takes a lot of care and I think joy in letting them be kids. I love Julia's voice in particular. I love how distinctive she is and how she brings that character to life. And, you know, again, very easily could have become annoying, but never does. In fact, you know, I kind of want to go around yelling Santa Mozzarella all the time. And I don't know, I think there's a particular way in which to tell a story about children where you're not talking down to people. And Luca strikes that balance really well.
No, I just love that the kids' problems are kids' problems and they don't make them adult problems. Like Alberto has conflicts in the middle of the movie without giving away too many details. But you don't find yourself going against Alberto's way of thinking. At the same time, you don't find yourself opposing the way Julia thinks or even the way Luca thinks, because they're very kid problems and they have like these tiny petty things that they think about. And it's so fun to think about those things and go like, yeah, you know, obviously it would make sense to them to fight over these like things that don't matter in the bigger picture of things, right? I also wanted to say though that I love the villain because of inconsequential the villain is, because he's such a nothing villain.
But also thinks that he's huge and something.
I mean, and how old is he? Like, this is a central plot point where we
35.
Need... Right? I kept thinking, I was like, Ercole, you are 40. You need to stop racing against children. I loved the villain so much. So his name is Ercole Visconti, and he just kind of walks around calling Julia Spulia and being a general bully. I thought actually he really encapsulated some of what you were mentioning earlier, Arvin, with Machiavelli, because it's the humor in this movie actually is generally quite subtle. There aren't a lot of sort of out and out gags and, you know, funny set pieces and things. Instead, it's more throwaway lines or things happening in the background. There's a whole sequence involving Luca's parents and a football, which I really enjoyed. Every moment that Ercole and his little henchmen kind of slapping each other in the background were on, I really loved that. And I think that that's actually one of those things for the adults where the humor is a little gentler.
Italian, it's very Italian film, isn't it?
A lot of hands.
Yeah, exactly. And on that same vein, the subtlety of that kind of humor, very early on, Arvin, you talked about differences and kind of celebrating differences, right? I think the show does that absolutely in that same way. It doesn't hit you over the head with this message of accepting differences, but you look at every layer of what the story does, even something as simple as Julia's dad being differently abled and the relationship he builds with Alberto, which kind of just all happens in the background. And then at some point it hits you and you're like, oh, that's where they were going with that. It's a very subtle and not in your face film. And the better for it.
And you know what helps a lot? The music. Like I thought, so most of the film I was like, oh, look, it's a very lighthearted Pixar film and I'm not tearing up at anything. And then the music hits and you're like, oh my God, because it gets there. Like any other Pixar film, I know we are saying that it's different from the others and it's not as heavy as the others. That doesn't mean it's going to let you off the hook. Because if you do invest, then you will have those Pixar moments that you expect from Pixar films. And the music is like a huge component of that. It's so beautiful, like the score. Not even like in the third act or whatever, but even in the beginning when they meet for the first time, Luca and Alberto, when they are having fun on their Vespa or they are, you know, up to their shenanigans and stuff, the music is so, so good in the background.
Look, did I yell at the television at some points? Sure. Did I cry? Absolutely. Was this Pixar? Yes. You know, I think it doesn't always have to be, let's get into the soul of things or let's dive deep into the mind and the brainstem and understand emotions. I love Inside Out. I loved Soul. But I think that after those deep dives, something like Luca, it isn't a break. It's more like here's just something that you can enjoy. And I found it such an enjoyable experience while still getting sort of that Pixar punch in the heart feels.
Completely. And I think it's actually a lesson perhaps to me to not expect the same things over and over again just because I've liked the way they've done something.
My only thing was I was like super conflicted because I was like, this would have been amazing to see on like an IMAX screen because
some of the
visuals are so good. And I was like, if we're in the cinema watching this on a massive screen, it would have been so good. But at the same time, it's super cozy to watch at home. So this was produced for Disney Plus. It's not a cinematic release. And it's the perfect sort of weekend cozied up at home watch, you know. So I was like, do
and
I want to see
this? You can eat pasta while you watch it.
Exactly. You can do whatever you want while you watch it. That's the thing. And I was like, do I want to see this in the cinema? But no, I like watching it at home. But also, I wish I had like a 150-inch screen to see this at home.
You can eat pasta with your hands and watch Luca, which is maybe the perfect way to do it. I agree. I wish there were times where I really did wish that I had a larger screen to watch it on. I was grateful for the television I did have. I think that I'm somebody who, perhaps this is anathema to admit on our show, but I'm somebody who regularly watches things on her phone because it's just the easiest way to do it. I'm not very particular about screen size even, but Luca was one of those times where I was really glad that I took the time to actually watch it on the television, on a larger screen. I would say whatever your largest screen is, that's where you should watch Luca.
Yes, and, you know, watch it when you want a lift, really. If you're having a bad day, if you just want something to make you smile, I couldn't recommend this highly enough.
I couldn't recommend this again because it's so easy to rewatch. It's a quick 1.5 hours. So anytime you need a pick-me-up, like Luca is the perfect thing.
I wanted to say, Arvind, you mentioned Machiavelli, and I feel like I can't let the whole show go by without talking about my personal favorite. Uncle Ugo is, I think, the best Pixar character in the history of Pixar characters. I know that's saying a lot, but he just, so that, you know, there is a weird uncle who appears at a pivotal moment in the film and gives essentially the world's strangest monologue. And
voiced by Sacha Baron Cohen.
Which tells you everything you need
that
to
makes
know.
Sense.
And I just adored Uncle Ugo. I would die for Uncle Ugo.
And it's that kind of weirdness that makes you realize that this is a show, that this is a film for adults as well as kids, right? Because the kind of appreciation that adults would have of Uncle Ugo is just really pure Pixar weirdness.
I want to see a whole short film with just him.
Right?
10 minutes. Yep.
I think that I would emerge from it sort of having no appetite, but it doesn't mean that I don't want to watch it. I really want to. We've been talking today about Luca, which we all roundly enjoy, roundly recommend. And it's part of our week-long look into animation. We started with Hayao Miyazaki. Today we're talking about Luca, which was inspired by Miyazaki's works. Tomorrow we're going to sort of do a whole deep cut on animation. So let us know, did you watch Luca? Do you enjoy animated films as a whole? Tune in tomorrow as well. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and of course tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.